Welcome to Your Health Connection. I am Dr. Ronald A. Johnson, president of Clark Atlanta University. This program was made possible by the Center for Cancer Research and Therapeutic Development at Clark Atlanta University, by WCLK 91.9 FM, and by Clark Atlanta University itself. Your Health Connection focuses on today's healthcare information to help you improve your quality of life.
Good evening. This is Your Health Connection, and I'm your host, Patty Walden. Tonight, we'll be talking about chemobrain, which is a common term that's used by cancer survivors to describe thinking and memory problems that can occur after cancer treatment. It can also be called chemofog, which has to do with chemotherapy-related cognitive impairment or cognitive dysfunctions. So to better understand this term and the things that come along with it, we'll be talking with our guest tonight, Sandra Meldrum, who is a two-time breast cancer survivor, Dr. Tavari Brown, who is the Cancer Wellness Program Manager with Piedmont Healthcare, as well as Doris Jones, Clinical Coordinator for the Cancer Navigation Program at DeKalb Medical. We want to remind everyone out there that this is a live program with live people. Everyone say hello.
Hello.
They do exist. We're all here. And that means you can call in with your questions, any questions that you might have concerning chemo brain or brain fog. The phone number is 404-880-9255 or 880-WCLK. If you are a tweeter, then you can reach us at CCRTD. We're going to start with our breast cancer survivor, Sandra. Would you mind just sharing your story for the folks listening out there? Your first diagnosis of breast cancer, what was that like for you? Walk us through your journey.
It was very traumatic. Very traumatic for me and my husband. When I found out, my doctor had called, and I knew what that call was. We went to the doctor. And he let me know that you do have breast cancer. And he wanted me to go to a surgeon. And we did go to the surgeon for the appointment. And the surgeon, I don't think he had the right diagnosis about my breast cancer. And he asked me, what do you want to do? Do you want me to do the surgery, the surgery, and I was asking him what kind of surgery, and he just said, I want you to make the decision whether you want a lumpectomy or a mastectomy. And I was kind of, afraid about that. So my husband and I went home, and we had our crying, and I did get in touch with another hospital, and they did let me know what kind of cancer I had. And we went through the chemo, radiation, and I was fine for 5 years, and then it came back.
Let me ask you a quick question.
Yes.
When the doctor was asking you what type of treatment you wanted, did you understand the terminology that he was using?
I didn't understand the terminology, mastectomy or lumpectomy. I didn't understand that. And if I had gone that way, I wouldn't be here today. I wouldn't be here today.
Interesting.
So we decided to go somewhere else for my care. And it turned out that they did give me the right diagnosis, and I went through chemo and radiation. And I'm still under the doctor's care right now, but it was a traumatic incident for me.
So you said it reoccurred.
It reoccurred 3 years ago. And I did had a surgery, and that was it for that. Because the first time I had a lumpectomy, it's the same breast, and then it reoccurred, and I had to have the mastectomy on that same area. I feel pretty good right now. I'm still under the doctor's care, and I'm taking medication. For the next 3 years, I have to take another medication for another 3 years. But I feel pretty good. Sometimes I have memory loss or chemo brain, as they call it. I can't remember some names, some medication. When they ask me what medication you're on, sometimes I can't remember what medication it is. So I need to write that down.
Well, we're glad you're here.
Yes.
Today.
I'm glad I'm here too.
Also here with us today is Doris Jones, Clinical Coordinator for the Cancer Navigation Program at DeKalb Medical. Doris, welcome.
Thank you.
You are welcome. Tell us a little bit more about yourself and what you do for the program at DeKalb Medical.
I am a nurse navigator. What a navigator does is kind of walks a person along when they're initially diagnosed in terms of what barriers are they having to get to treatment, understanding treatment. I've told people before, part of what we're doing is being an interpreter, because now you've been dropped into this place and there's all sorts of terminology that makes no sense to you. And so we kind of walk through and walk through with the patient and basically whatever it is that they're saying that they need, somebody to go to an appointment to take notes so that they understand. It's hard to make notes of your own when you can't spell some of the words thrown at you and you're trying to make decisions, and I'm able to take notes, and then here's stuff that's written for you that now you can go home and maybe try to understand what's being said and contemplate what, you know, when you're trying to make decisions and you don't really understand what someone has said, how do you know how to make the decision? So that's what I do.
Like, so in Sandra's case, when the doctor said, you know, hey, here are the two types of treatments, which one do you want? Would the navigation on your end begin at that particular point?
Absolutely.
Or?
Okay. But usually we try to pick people up as quick as we can after a positive biopsy.
Okay.
And if we can manage, we like to hook up with them before their first appointments, and some of the, depending on the setting, because if we can be there, then we hear from the beginning what's being said. So when they have questions, then we understand why they're asking the question, because we heard the conversation and we can kind of help explain like the choices.
Excellent. So before we introduce our next guest, we want to make sure that you have the proper tools to get in touch with us. You can reach us. This is a live program. You can reach us at 404-880-9255 if you know someone who has experienced chemo brain fog, a loved one, perhaps yourself. Give us a call. If you are a tweeter, you can reach us at CCRTD. We've got some answers for you tonight, and we're hearing stories that undoubtedly I'm sure some of you can relate to. So I'd now like to introduce Dr. Tavari Brown. Welcome to the program, Dr. Brown.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Tell us a little bit more about yourself and your role at Piedmont.
Well, I am Dr. Tavari Brown. I'm not an MD. I'm a PhD. And what I do is I run a comprehensive cancer wellness program for Piedmont Healthcare. Across our five hospitals, we have four cancer wellness centers, and what we do there is offer free of charge complimentary comprehensive services to anyone who's ever been diagnosed with cancer, regardless of where they live or where they're receiving treatment. So we have had patients from all over the metropolitan area show up at in our programs. I am a licensed therapist, so I'm a counselor. I meet with individuals and also families. And a lot of times when people come in, you know, there's the, Sandra had mentioned, you know, this trauma of getting a diagnosis, so that's an initial shock. And Doris mentioned that as well as a nurse navigator, that, you know, you're sitting in your doctor's office and you're getting what might feel like the worst news of your life. And I kind of jokingly have said to the physicians that once they're about to give a cancer diagnosis, they should really stop talking because no one can hear them after that point. So I think that's the beauty of having a nurse navigator in place. And we have nurse navigators through Piedmont Healthcare as well who really walk patients through the process, that educate the patients. A lot of times physicians aren't available to answer all of your questions when you have them. So having another individual who in some cases has even had a cancer diagnosis themselves, they can answer all of your questions and really educate you through the process. As Doris mentioned before, the cancer jargon, it's a completely different language. And so you're taking people and you're throwing them into this process where they have to learn all of these things and make decisions for themselves and for their health very quickly. And so through Piedmont Healthcare, we're really do a lot of integrative work to surround the individual and support them in as many ways as possible. Through my comprehensive cancer wellness program, we offer free of charge cooking demos. I have a dietitian on staff, massage therapist on staff. We do yoga. We do mindfulness meditation classes, which I'll get into a little bit further, how that can be helpful for stress reduction and also for reducing what we're calling chemo brain. But in the literature, you might even see it as cancer brain. And because there's so many things that kind of feed into what we're talking about, and that's that loss of memory or that inability to recall things very quickly.
So thank you for that. Let's stick with that for a little bit and talk a little bit more about chemo brain, since that's our topic. So outside of forgetting details and multitasking, attention, which is something I'm having a problem with right now, apparently. What are some of the other things that could be used to define chemo brain that some of our listening audience might not know, might not be familiar with? Anything that we've missed in defining?
I think when we're thinking about things that are very commonplace to us these days, there's that dementia spectrum. And sometimes people say, well, you know, if I can't remember something, or if I put the keys in the refrigerator, is that a sign that I have autism? That I have Alzheimer's disease, or that my family member has Alzheimer's disease? But I find that it's the little things that individuals. I'll give one quick anecdotal story. When I was in my graduate program, but working at Piedmont, one of my professors walked through the clinic, and she hadn't disclosed to her students that she was in treatment for cancer, and she never disclosed it. But there was a time when she was lecturing that she saw me, and she knew that I knew about her cancer diagnosis. So when she couldn't recall a word, she would just look at me, and I would fill in the word for her. So that was our little dance. You know, I recognized that this was a challenge that she was having, and that I was here to support her.
That's good. I've put the keys in the refrigerator and freezer many, many times, and I've not been diagnosed with with anything. Let me remind the folks listening that we are taking your calls live. The phone number is 404-880-9255. You're listening to Your Health Connection on WCLK 91.9 FM. We're talking about chemo brain, and I think you mentioned another term is cancer brain.
Yeah, absolutely.
Doris, is there anything that you can add to the definition? Anything that we've missed? Anything that might have happened? Attention, little things that someone might be going through.
Well, I attend breast cancer support group. I used to attend it more often. I'm kind of not less part of it than I used to be. But what is often talked about in there is just the trouble and the frustration that people have when they're trying to search for the word. And there are so many things that can give you, you know, memory issues. But the most frustrated are usually the ones that are a little bit younger, because, you know, as you get older, you expect certain things. And, I believe Dr. Brown mentioned something is you expect certain things as you get older. So the younger ones are a little bit more frustrated about it.
Right.
And this shouldn't happen right now in my life. You know, other things should be. But it's there's such a – it can be fatigue-related that people have, trouble concentrating. There's changes in your sleep is very common during treatments and after. So there's so many parts that could make somebody have chemo brain that would be a symptom. That part of the challenge is, how do you know if it's related to this or that? And so there's hard to say exactly how each person feels when they have chemo brain, because there's a lot of variety of the things that affect them.
So Dr. Brown, do we know if any of the chemo brain is short term, long term, and do we know why?
Yeah, it's a great question. So we don't 100% know the etiology, and that's because there's so many things that can be contributing to it. Up to 30% of individuals who receive chemotherapy will have some form of chemo brain or cancer brain. And as you know, Doris was alluding to, there are so many factors that are playing into this. So I would add, you know, depression, the fatigue that you have as you're going through treatment. I mentioned earlier that stress is going to contribute to your inability to attend in the moment, and really thinking about what we know about the brain and the fact that in order for something to even go into long-term storage, it has to go into short-term storage first, which means that you have to be paying attention. So if you're not paying attention to where you put the keys, of course you don't know where the keys are. I'm often quoting Maslow's hierarchy of needs, and that's really that your brain first goes to survival. Do you have food and shelter? Your brain does not care about the telephone number for your dentist or where you put the car keys. But some of the other issues that people really have to take in consideration also is, you know, what their body's going through treatment. That can be very stressful to the body. That's very traumatic to the body. Also, co-occurring comorbidity. So, you know, do they have diabetes, high blood pressure? Is there an interaction with other medications? All these things are the issues that we have to sit down and kind of work through with patients. Sure. For some individuals, it might be just, you know, that chemo brain might only last a couple of weeks. It might only last through treatment. But as our nurse would share with you, you know, that chemotherapy is almost like a comet. It has a very long tail. So even after you're done with treatment, you're still kind of detoxing from the chemotherapy. It's still in your body. So, you know, recognizing with our patients to be patient with themselves, right, that, you know, for some individuals, it might be a temporary state. For other individuals, it's long term. And so with my individual counseling clients, I really talk to them about worst case scenario. So, you know, ideally, this won't last forever. But if it does, what are some strategies? What are some techniques that we put in place? Because, you know, even looking around this table, looking around the studio, there's no one in here that's 20 years old and will never be 20
again.
Hey. Sorry, Patty. All right. Patty's 22. There's no one in this space that's 20 years old. And so our bodies are changing. So how are we adapting and adjusting to the aging process? And with my clients, I really try to normalize chemo brain as a part of, this is part of the aging process. Your body has changed. There are new things happening to you. So what are some strategies that we need to put in place, whether it's having a nurse navigator or a family member go to your appointments with you, or using, you know, most of us have smartphones. So using your smartphone, using all this technology around you as mechanisms to remember things.
That's good. Let me stop you, because I want to talk about that a little bit later, some of the techniques and strategies. I want to go back to our survivor, Sandra. Dr. Brown mentioned some things that could happen, like depression, stress. Did you experience any of those things after treatment, after your first or second diagnosis?
I didn't have it. I didn't have the stress or the
depression.
Oh, that's... No, I don't know why, but I'm glad I didn't.
But you're not complaining about it.
Right.
Wonderful.
So I don't know what happened, but I did not have any of that.
Well, Dr. Brown, I appreciate that you just mentioned when you were talking about the different things that can happen, and that you're actually, when you counsel, you're talking to people about it. What it's telling me is that you're really creating a new normal, you know, and so it's not abnormal, you know, so people don't feel like, I'm going through this thing and I'm by myself, but you're kind of working it into the whole phase of it, so people are at a level of comfort, and to me that's important. Can you talk a little bit more about it?
Yeah, absolutely. So as I mentioned before, I work for Piedmont Healthcare, and with the Thomas F. Chapman Family Cancer Wellness Program, we really make an effort to, I call it putting a warm blanket around the entire family system, not just the patient, but helping people to buffer, helping to put into place, you know, programs and services that are going to reduce their stress, that are going to normalize things. You know, you have individuals who may have been diagnosed with cancer who don't have a family history of cancer. No one else they know has had cancer, or if they do, it's a different type of cancer and their trajectory has been completely different. So, you know, one of my goals is really to connect them with other individuals who are a little bit further along the journey as them, so that they can have that sense of hope and remain uplifted. And, you know, regardless if it's one of our exercise classes or a cooking demonstration, or we offer knitting classes at Cancer Wellness, you know, just making sure that people aren't sitting at home watching the judge shows all day with the curtains drawn, and they're able to come into a space free of charge where they can connect with other individuals and recognize that this too shall pass.
That's good. Some of those judge shows are really good, by the way.
Yeah, I'm aware. Particularly paternity court.
<Uh-oh>.
Doris Jones, what are, as a nurse navigator, what are some of the items that people can do to cope day to day?
Well, one of the interesting things is that once someone's finished with their treatments and say they've lost their hair and their hair is growing back and they begin to look like themselves again, all of a sudden people think, well, they are themselves again. And when you start having you're still having the side effects of a treatment, there's frustration in the patient because now people think that, well, it's over and you shouldn't have any other problems, which is obviously not the case.
Right.
But, you know, you're having attention problems. You can't maybe prioritize like you used to. So if you have a laundry list of things to do, pick out something that you can do in 2 minutes. You know that you feel like you've accomplished something because I've got something checked off. Because if you have trouble prioritizing and all of a sudden half the day's gone and I haven't finished anything on my list, pick something that you know you can finish in a short time, and then you feel like, oh man, I've gotten something done today. And that's that makes you feel that you have a little bit of control back into, yes, I'm having this side effect that may or may not be long term, but I can get on with things by, you know, picking how you do it. And that's one of them. And I think support groups are one of the best things ever. And I know a lot of people have different views about a support group. But the nice thing about a support group is that you walk into a room, and whereas someone doesn't know what you've done, you know, walked in your shoes, they know it more than most people could understand. Yeah. And then you realize how many people are having similar struggles. And it's a very good situation to be as like, well, you know, Dr. Brown could be in the group. And she said, well, you know, I've tried this and it worked really well for me. And Sandrica goes, yeah, I tried it. That didn't work, but this did. And so if I'm trying to find a solution, I may not have thought of either of those things. And it's a very good place to come and find what other people are doing, because everyone's trying to find their own solution because there's not one solution.
That's great.
So
great suggestion. We're going to take a quick break. When you come back, we are talking about chemo brain, cancer brain, and we are taking your calls live. We'll take a break and be right back. Thanks.
I'm Dr. Kimberly Davis with the Center for Cancer Research and Therapeutic Development at Clark Atlanta University. Prostate cancer often has no early warning signs or symptoms, but screening can detect the cancer in its earliest stages when it is most curable. The key is to know your numbers. Annual testing with the prostate-specific antigen test, or PSA, can lead to early detection and cancer confined to the prostate that has a significantly higher cure rate. Know what your PSA number is every year. Do not accept your PSA is normal. Ask for the actual number. This might be the most important number of your life. For more information, contact the Center for Cancer Research and Therapeutic Development at 404-880-6878 or email us at cancerinfo@cau.edu. This message has been brought to you by the Center for Cancer Research and Therapeutic Development at Clark Atlanta University.